Just two best friends accidentally starting a podcast. Just out here doing our best.
Being spooky and beautiful at the same time.
I'm Megan.
I'm Nola.
And we are the Dead Magnolias.
We're starting. Hey, Nola.
Hi, Megan.
How was your last week?
I don't know.
No idea. Well, if anybody was wondering how it goes when we're not recording, welcome. This is episode 6.
Yeah.
So we made it back. It's only been a week, which is kind of nice because we had a few weeks in between.
We're getting on a schedule. We're doing this. We're adult podcasters.
We think.
Maybe.
Last week after we got done recording, Nola and I headed to a haunted cemetery.
Civil War Cemetery. Camp Chase.
Which I'm sure we'll do an episode on later, but we just wanted to kind of talk about our experience from last week. We made it just in time. We stopped at Nola's sister's house and played with her dogs for a little while, and I was covered in hair. I could have passed as one of the dogs by the time we left.
They're little husky babies. They just want to love and spread their fur.
And spread their fur.
Yes.
So we get to the cemetery. We're passing an officer that works at the cemetery. And we're like, oh no, it's closed. And this nice woman was like, yeah, I didn't actually lock it. Like, you guys can just walk in. So we walked around for like 10 minutes. I don't know. What was it like for you?
It was, it's kind of unsettling because it's like this Civil War cemetery just like randomly on Sullivan Avenue on the west side of
Yeah, Kansas. I was gonna say.
So it feels very out of place, and it's like so many headstones.
There's just, what, over 2,000, I think?
I believe so. Yeah. Of just, it was Confederate soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like packed in this tiny little like stoned-in wall.
Behind a softball field.
Yeah. And there's just like all of these headstones. It kind of looks like a C. And like there's literally nowhere to step without like stepping on someone.
We were apologizing our whole way through.
Yeah. Megan was just like, sorry, boys. Sorry. So it was super creepy just like knowing that I was constantly over a dead person. But we were trying to figure out, or, like, look for, like, these certain headstones, because the story of Camp Chase is that there's the Lady in Gray, who is this mourner,
mm-hmm.
And she visits these two headstones. We ended up not finding the unknown soldier.
Because there's a few of them that were unknown. Like, they had last names, but no first name and no, like, distinction as to who they were and why they were in the cemetery.
Yeah.
But we did find it was Benjamin Allen.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have pictures of that. We'll put it on our Instagram.
But, like, we were just wandering around trying to find it, and then Megan was like, fuck it. And she looked up, what was the website?
Findagrave.com or something? I don't know.
Very, very helpful website, findagrave.com. So we found Benjamin Allen, and Megan was, like, right away, like, all right, let's head towards that way. And once we started moving, I, like, felt like I heard a woman weeping, but it could have easily been, like, a car going down the street or my coat ruffling or
anything.
Me just bugging out because I'm in a cemetery trying to find a crying ghost lady.
Right. Like, so looking at every headstone thinking she's just gonna, like, pop out behind one like, hey, I'm here. I'm just not afraid of cemeteries. I'm not saying I want to, like, go walk around one at night, but they just don't freak me out like they do some people. But I will say that this one was unsettling at points. Like, I didn't like being too far away from Nola. That was uncomfortable for me. And when I was looking for Benjamin Allen's grave, I realized we were on the opposite end of the cemetery than it was in. Because I was like, oh, it's probably, like, in the middle, like, easy to find. No, it was all the way up at the front. So I, like, took off without her. And we made it past. There's, like, a big, like, rock arch thing there that's got some inscription on it. And I just got, like, full body chills, and it wasn't, like, I'm cold and uncomfortable. It was, like, I felt weird being there. But then Noah caught up with me and I felt fine. And I didn't mention this until we had left because I didn't want to influence her and make her think that that's what I was feeling so that that, like, is suddenly something that you were feeling too.
Yeah. I am very impressionable.
Yeah, you know. But I just wanted it to be, like, kind of an authentic thing where we talked about it after when we were in the car driving home. And then we got lost on the way home because the highway changed.
Oh, yeah. I drove... Never mind. Nobody else needs to know this.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah, just one of the highways out right where we live completely took an exit away, so we had no idea where we were. We ended up driving by both of our works, and turning around, but that was fun. But we found that cemetery. I mean, Nola's sister lived right next to it, so she knew it was there, but I had just bought a book of, like, haunted places in Ohio. It's not Haunted Ohio, but it was, like, a different style of that where it's broken down by regions of Ohio, and there's a bunch of places in Columbus, but Nolan and I got the idea that we want to visit some of these places, and I was like, oh, well, Camp Chase looks close, and she's like, oh, it's right by my sister's, so we went there, but we have plans to be going to a few places in the book and see what we can figure out.
Field trip!
Spencer wants to go with us to the reformatory.
Okay, cool.
Which we'd have to plan that. If we're going to do that, we have to plan that soon, because their tour season ends soon.
Gotcha.
I have to figure out when it ends exactly, but that would be fun. But yeah, so we got through that, and then we decided, like we said last week, that we wanted to do some locations for our episodes that are in Ohio, and just places that we've both been to, that are near and dear to our hearts. So we figured we would share some of that with you guys.
Yeah. So, Megan's gonna be telling a story later about one of the first things we've done as friends is we went ghost hunting.
Yeah, that was, like, what? It was spring break of our freshman year.
So, like, almost 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Just shy.
Which is insane. That's fine. And
so, yeah. So, we went ghost hunting. So, my story, or, like, my segment, I guess, is going to be a time that my family and I hunted for something else. Not a ghost, but a creature.
Bigfoot.
Not Bigfoot, well, but it is an Ohio cryptid.
The Grassman.
No.
The, I don't know.
So, let me tell you. So, a few years ago, I think I was in college, my family and I, we went down to a town outside of Cincinnati called Loveland. Yes. We went to this Loveland castle, which was, like, super cool, like, really old thing. We had this tour guide that was, like, super into it, and at one point he was like, you know, like, most castles, they have to, like, defend against evil queens and dragons, but here in Loveland, we have to defend our castle against the Loveland Frogmen.
Frogman!
Frogman! And, of course, we were like, what the fuck is a frogman? And he was only so happy to tell us.
Of course.
A frogman is what it sounds like. It is a humanoid frog type creature.
If I saw that, I would run the other
direction. Oh my god. It's like, it's not supposed to be super tall. It's like anywhere between 3 to 4 feet.
That's terrifying.
It's still large for a fucking frog.
For a frog?
Yes.
Does it have, like, a tongue? Like, I can't, you wouldn't be able to hear me do this, but, like, the, so you can catch flies.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't be able to hear, you mean see?
Yeah, sure.
The grabby tongue thing is what she was going for.
The really long tongue that frogs have. Frogs.
Yes. So it's, he was telling us all about it. I don't remember exactly what he said. But shortly right afterwards, like, my family and I were, like, out in the woods, like, outside looking of this castle, like, looking for these frogs, which is just so fucking funny. So, we hunted for the frog men, frog man, right, whichever plurality of that you want to go with.
Is there a colony of frog men?
Possibly.
What?
So, here is the story of the Loveland frog men. So, the first sighting was back in May of 1955.
That's a long time ago.
It is a long time ago. There was this businessman, he was driving home from work, and he saw something on the side of the road, and he was like, maybe this is a dog. So he, like, pulls over, and he's looking at it, and he sees these three bipedal quasi-reptilian entities, which were just, like, hanging out together by the side of the road.
Just chilling.
And so he was, like, looking at it, and he said that he was there for, like, 3 minutes, and he noticed that they were, like, 3 to 4 feet tall. Right. They were covered in leathery skin. Their hands and their feet were, like, webbed, like a frog's, obviously. and then he said that they had frog-like heads. So they had, like, deep wrinkles where their hair should have been. So they were, like, hairless.
Gross.
Like, slimy-looking things. And this one, this account says that the man was about to leave, and he saw one of the creatures suddenly, like, hold a wand above its head.
A wand?
A wand. And there was, like, sparks that came out of it. And he left post-haste.
Well, yes.
So, this man, he sees, like, these three frogs meeting, freaks out, tells everybody about it. And then, since then, there's been just, like, a really bizarre legend surrounding these frog-type people.
These frog-type wizard people.
Yes.
Okay, yep.
That was the only account that says anything about a wand. But yeah, so this is, like, very akin to, like, Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So this is huge in Loveland. Like, it is blown up so
That's
much.
Crazy.
And, like, so there were always these legends, and then it starts to get, like, kind of real in the 1970s.
It's like 20 years. Well, 15 years after the first sighting.
Yes.
Okay.
Or he says, like, nearly 17 years. Okay. It was, like, 1972. And there are two police officers who saw this thing. So, the first one, he was just, like, driving, and he kind of just, like, was driving very slowly because it was, mm-hmm. like, very icy. And he sees this, like, creature kind of, like, go across the road, like, kind of creep. It was, like, crawl hopping a little bit.
I'm already and then scared, and you haven't even finished the story.
And then, like, he sees the thing, like, stand up on two legs and just, like, jump over this, like, road fence. Or
Frogger. Real life.
Yes.
He made it across.
And he was like, awesome. What the fuck did I just see? He said it was very frog-looking. Mm-hmm. And he kind of just, like, he told a lot of people because this legend was big.
Right.
Couple weeks later, something like that, his buddy,
mm-hmm.
also a cop, just driving around, he sees something, like, on the side of the road kind of, like, injured. Awesome. And he, like, pulls over to look at it. He doesn't get out of his car because it just, like, stands up on two legs and then is, like, going over this fence, and the guy decides to shoot it.
Naturally.
So, this is where there's, like, a bunch of different accounts of what happens right. from here. There's the boring one where he shoots it, he retrieves the body, and it's actually, like, somebody's really large iguana that had gotten out and, like, lost its tail.
Legs.
Like,
it lost its tail.
It lost its tail, so it didn't look like an iguana. Maybe it had just, like, used its long body to, like, kind of pull itself up against the fence. Naturally. So it looked like it was standing on two legs.
Are there iguanas that big?
Come on. They can get pretty large. Like, and especially if it had, like, moved up. It could have been standing about 3 feet tall.
Yeah, I don't fuck around with them.
This one, iguanas are reptiles.
Whatever. Frogs are amphibians.
Frogs are amphibians, yeah. But any of those things are kind of gross. So, that's the boring story, was that they finally caught it. It was actually somebody's, like...
household pet.
They got this pet. It got too big. They just, like, let it free. Which was a big problem. The more fun things are that it... He shot at it and it missed, or he shot it and it still went on and just, like, wasn't caught. And that it was actually this, like,
frog man,
like, supernatural being thing.
That's terrifying.
But the cop does say, like, now, because, like, right. so tired of being, like, harassed about mm-hmm. it, interviewed, blah, 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 that now he's like, yes, it was not a frog man, it was an iguana. But it's still, like, up in the air if the body was actually retrieved or if it wasn't.
Right.
So it's possible that, like, it was just a rogue pet, or it's possible that this guy, like, just doesn't want to talk about it anymore. So he's like, no, it was an iguana, leave me the fuck alone.
I was lying the whole time.
But then, in 2016...
just a few short years ago.
When Pokemon Go came out.
Oh, shit.
This boy and his girlfriend were, like, trying to find some water animals or Pokemon shit.
Water animals.
I don't even remember. But they go to this lake to, like, Pokemon hunt.
Right.
And they see this thing coming out of the water.
Like, in real life, not on their map.
They were, like, not a digital Pokemon, but, like, an actual frog-type thing.
Gotta catch them all, I suppose.
And they have photographs, which are kind of sketch monkey. I'll put them on our Instagram so you guys can decipher. So it's either they totally, like, made this up.
Right.
To keep the legend going. Or they actually saw something. Maybe they just doctored an image.
Right.
But... so, yeah. Loveland.
So, they think that they caught the Frogman playing Pokemon Go.
Yes. So, Frogman, Frogmen, Frog Colony, mm-hmm. I don't know, could still be running rampant around Loveland.
Damn, I was going to suggest we go to Loveland, but if I'm going to run into a frog, I'm not about it. I don't like frogs.
There is somebody made... oh, do I have it? Some people have been, like, writing songs about the Loveland Frogman that are actually pretty good.
Of course.
And there's a musical.
There is a
musical based on the Frogman, which I really want to see.
Is it just called Frogman the Musical?
It's not called that. It is...
Frogaro?
Hot damn, it's the Loveland Frog. It was made back in 2014. So, if anybody has a copy of Hot Damn, It's the Loveland Frog, please send it to our email, deadmagnoliaspodcast@gmail.com. I want to see this shit. I couldn't find it on YouTube. Please help a sister out. But yeah, so my family and I hunted for this.
Didn't find any
outside
frogs.
Of a castle. Yeah, found nothing.
Maybe it was his off day.
Probably. I don't even... it was probably, like, 2014 that I went. So it wasn't back coming out with Pokemon Go, so.
So you didn't have that kind of technology to help you out.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Huh. Frogman. I'm just trying to imagine me seeing that and hard I would poop my pants.
I would rather see Bigfoot than
a bipedal frog.
Yeah. A humanoid frog. No.
Trying to think of what it would even look like standing up.
Like an old man. Right. Wearing weird pants.
Well, what are the children's stories where the frog and the... is it another frog?
Mr. Toad. Frog and Mr. Toad, something like that.
Where there's, like, that one tiny distinction which doesn't make any sense to me.
Like, one's lumpier.
Yeah, but they walk around their bipedal. And I'm thinking, if I saw that in real life, I would poop.
So much poop.
Everywhere.
Don't go to Loveland.
When we were listening, I was listening to our recordings that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. We mentioned grand slamming so many times. You just hear in, like, everyone, if we saw this, how hard would you grand slam? And I was like, what does that mean? And I was like, oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so that comes from fart baseball.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know if you guys are aware of fart baseball, but you're coming on this detour with us. Where when you're hanging out with your friends, if you fart, you just exclaim, first base. And the thing is, every time you fart, you move a base, but if somebody else farts, that interrupts where you are. So if I were to be like, oh, I'm on first base, and then Megan was like, I'm on first base, I'd have to start over again.
But back to bat.
The way that you hit a grand slam, meaning that bases are loaded, fourth person does a home run, like, grand slam, you've got four fucking points, is you shart. There's poop in your pants. That's how you grand slam. So I can go from zero to grand slam with just a little tiny turtlet.
Yep. College was fun for us.
When we got scared, we'd be like, grand slam!
which, with what I'm talking about, we wanted to do a few times.
Yes. I completely forgot about that.
Just listening to these, I found an old recording of a, like, ghost investigation that Nola and I did with a couple friends back in our freshman year of college 8 years ago. Like we said earlier, just under 8 years ago, but we just sound like children. It was really strange and just, like, special to listen to. But the EVP sessions that we got were from the location that I'm talking about today, the Buxton Inn.
Boom, 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 boom.
In Granville, Ohio. I've been waiting really patiently for this episode to come because I could talk about this location for hours and not stop. Like, I would have new information every time. Granville just holds a really special place in my heart, so getting to talk about this inn is just really fun for me.
Yeah.
I started going out to Granville when I was, like, 10 or 11 with my Aunt Kathy. She knew I was really into, like, haunted things, and she used to live in Granville, and she's like, oh, I have a place that I can take you to. And I just fell in love with this town. It's just really tiny and charming.
It's like a slightly spooky Stars Hollow.
Right.
For you Gilmore Girls fans out there.
Including me and Nola, because...
Oh, yeah.
We're obsessed. But yeah, just this place has a lot of memories that, you know, are spooky, but also just really special. And Nola and I got to stay there back in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk about that, too. I've got some time cut out for us to share what we experienced out there. But I figured I'd start with some history for the Buxton Inn. So it was originally built in 1812, which is a long-ass time ago.
Dang.
And it was built by Orrin Granger, and he had named it the Tavern. So he ran that until 1818 when he died. And the fun fact for that is he is the first reported ghost of the place. Which I have a funny story. I got some quotes out of my book I was reading. He seems fun. But if I ever ran into him, that would be an automatic grand slam because you'll understand why when we get there. So the tavern ran successfully until the 1850s when it was purchased by James, I'm going to say Dilly is his last name. And he named it the Dilly House when he bought it and took over. So he ran it for 5 years. And then he sold it to Major Horton Buxton, who changed it to the Buxton Inn. So Buxton made some changes. He did some renovations, but he wanted to make sure that any tourist that was moving through Ohio and stopped near Granville wanted to stay there. So it was the tourist hotspot. So he owned the building until he passed away in 1902, and we didn't get a new owner until 1934. So this next owner, Nola and I are very familiar with. She just doesn't know it yet, but the girl that bought it is Ethel Bonnell, also known as Bonnie. And Nola, I did not tell you this, but she was a former opera singer.
Oh, very cool.
Yes.
So, oh, shit.
Yes. You'll understand why she's upset about that.
So many chills. I hate this.
So she bought the inn in 34. She became notable for the inn for many reasons because she made it what it is now. Which is just, God, it's so lovely. I hope that you guys listen to this and want to go out and see it. But when you get there, you'll see a sign out front, which we will post a picture of this on our Instagram page as well. Because the sign out front is actually the one that she put up there in the 30s. And it's got this really cute cat on it. That's her cat. And his name is Major Buxton. So we'll make sure to put that up there so you guys can see it. But unfortunately, Bonnie died in 1960. And she passed ownership to her business partner, Nellie Schuller.
Sure.
However you say all those names. So Nellie took it over and ran it for another 12 years. And she sold it to Orville and Audrey Orr in 1972. I actually got to meet Audrey. Lovely, lovely woman. And the Orrs owned it up until 2014 when they sold it to a partnership that's run by Robert Schilling, and it's still owned by them today. They've made a lot of cool changes. I remember, like, seeing in the papers, I went right before Adrian Orville sold it and saw the newspapers that were like, hey, we're selling the inn for, like, millions of dollars. Like, it is expensive. And I was really nervous that the people that bought it were gonna, like, destroy it and just completely take away from the integrity of the building, but they've really, like, done justice to it. And Nolan and I got to stay there under their ownership, and they just did a really nice job. So, that's really all the history. There's aspects about each person that owned it, but we don't really need to go into that because we want to talk about the ghosts. Nola's gonna freak out, but it's fine.
I'm so mad.
So, like I mentioned, Orville Granger was the first ghost that people reported seeing. So in a book that I was reading, I really can't remember the name of it. I'll make sure to put it on either our Instagram or on the show notes so that you guys know, and you can get a copy if you want it. But someone claimed to tell a story of seeing Mr. Granger, and it's really strange. So this is the direct quote from the story. So it says, owners who took over the inn after Granger's death reported that on occasion, when they headed down to the kitchen for a late night snack, they would find that Granger's ghost had already beaten them to it and was in the kitchen enjoying a snack of his own. I stopped and I was like, if I saw that, I would just turn around and go back to bed. But these people are brave enough to, like, go in there. So, and apparently his snack of choice was usually a pie of some sort. I don't know if it was, like, a ghost pie or if he's, like, the chef made a really good apple today, you know? And then it says, it goes on to say, further, if Granger's ghost was in a particularly talkative mood, he would pull up a chair and tell them all about the history of the building and some of his proudest accomplishments when he was running the place.
What the fuck?
Can you imagine? Like, you just bought this inn, and you're like, fuck, I'm hungry. It's like 2 a.m.
This is a Hallmark movie.
Yes.
Where, like, somebody buys an inn, the ghost eats snacks and just tells them, like, lovely, comfortable stories about owning the inn before them. This is a Hallmark movie.
Like, he pulls up a chair and they're just like, yeah, whatever.
Let's
like,
eat some pie, for Orville.
50 years. But yeah, let's have a conversation. Yeah, I was, like, not okay with that because I was like, who told them this? And it said former owners. Like, multiple owners were like, yeah, that happened all the time, whatever. But turns out Orville's not the only owner that stayed around. So this place must hold a special place in everybody's hearts because most of the owners are seen, at the inn after their deaths. So on to Bonnie Bonnell. I'm so sorry, Nola. So we're going to tell the story of what has happened between Nola and Bonnie in a few, but I was reading and found out she used to be an opera singer. And it just added a lot of depth to what happened to Nola. You can't see her right now, but she's just staring at the ceiling. She's mad at me. It's fine.
For so many reasons. You left me. You left me with her.
So, Bonnie, the Lady in Blue, she's also known as, she's reported to have passed away in room 9 of the inn.
Cool.
Which is a really special room for Nola and I. You'll find out in a minute. So her ghost is said to mostly hang out in there, but she's also been seen in the basement, in the winery, like, pretty much all over the inn. People, like, notice her. But in room 9, people have said that they've seen objects moving, doors opening, windows opening and closing on their own, which is no easy task. Nola and I tried to get some of those windows open. They're really heavy. But the best part is a woman's voice is also said to be heard in the room, sometimes calling out people's names. I'm going to share a story that I had with Bonnie before we talk about the one with Nola and I. So it's from when I was, like, really young. I think I was maybe, like, 12. But Kathy had taken me out there for lunch, and she's like, well, let's stop at the inn, like, we'll go get a disposable camera, because those were still in use. So we went to CVS and got a disposable camera and we're walking around and I asked, because the lights off were off in the basement. And the basement also served as a bar and there was like a few chairs down there that you could eat at. But the lights were off, so I asked the lady at the front desk if it was okay if I went down there. She's like, oh yeah, that's fine. You can flip on the light switch if you want. And I was like, no, I'm a badass today. I'm not going to turn those lights on. I'm going to go all the way down in that basement by myself. I didn't make it all the way down. Made it like 6 steps down and I was so scared. But I had my camera and the stairs go down and there's a wall for like the first 4 steps. But then it opens up so you can see the whole basement from the few steps that are left. So I make it like 6 stairs down. I can still see the light at the top of the stairs, so I felt safe. Mm-hmm. But I looked down into the abyss and I was like, there's no way in hell I'm gonna make it down there. So I took my disposable camera and I reached it out past the wall and I snapped a quick picture with the flash on of the bar area. So after that picture flashed and lit up the whole bar, I ran away.
Naturally.
Like, I was gone. And then I go home that day and my dad and I take the disposable camera to Walgreens or something and get the pictures developed and I'm looking through them and nothing's on them, of course. But then I get to the picture of the basement and I drop the rest of the pictures because I'm looking at this picture and there's this giant blue orb in the middle of the picture right by the bar. And I was like, this is the coolest shit I have ever seen. Like, I was so just taken aback because I was like, there's no way that this is just like dust. Like, it was huge, it was blue, and it was just like in the middle of the picture. And I called my aunt on my home phone because that's what you did then. And I was like, we have to go back. Like, I have to show the people at the front desk. So we went like a few weeks later. I think we had time then. And I take this picture. I'm like so proud walking up. I was like, felt just next to Zach Bagans with how much evidence I had collected. And I go up to the lady at the front desk. And I was like, look at what I caught the last time I was here. And she looks and she takes the picture and she just starts like giggling. And I was like, what? And she reaches over into their mailboxes and pulls out a picture that somebody had emailed to them of the same exact thing. It was just, like, the orb was, like, a little bit of a different shape, but it was in the same spot and, like, the same size.
Creepy.
Of the basement. And I was like, whoa. And the lady's like, yeah, it was probably just Bonnie, like, saying hi, just checking down on things in the basement. And she's like, yeah, this stuff happens all the time. Like, people catch this kind of stuff all the time. And I lost the picture a few years later, but I still have it in my heart. That was the coolest thing that I had ever seen. Also, there's the ghost cat that we mentioned earlier, Major Buxton. He's said to haunt the inn. This is the most notorious of the ghosts. People go to this inn to try to catch this cat. But he's said to curl up on beds and go to sleep with guests who are staying at the inn. So he is most infamous, how do you ever say that word?
Famously. Well known.
Thank you.
For cuddling.
Felt in room 9, because he was Bonnie's cat, but he's also known to be in room 7, and some people have reported him in other rooms. It really doesn't matter, he likes beds. No one's ever seen him, though, but people have felt him. So, like, they feel what feels like a cat is curling up behind them, which I have felt. Super cool. We can mention that when we talk about when Nola and I stayed there. But as I was reading this book that I have, it was a funny story from a woman who had an experience with Major Buxton. So the quotes says, a woman freaked out when she woke up and felt the cat down at her feet because she's allergic to cats. So she woke up and she's like, fuck, like something's wrong. She became convinced that since she had fallen asleep with the window open, a stray cat had somehow managed to get in the room with her. So she went down to the front desk and she's like, there's a cat in my room. I'm allergic. Like, you've got to help me. So the front desk staff even went up into the room and searched and there was no cat in there. She was still convinced. She was like, no, it was definitely like a real cat. And they were like, we looked, but whatever. It's fine. They never found anything. But yeah, those are like the biggest ghosts. I mean, people see Horton Buxton, the guy who named it, the Buxton Inn. They see him sitting in the front lobby every so often. Like, he almost like he's just, you know, greeting people as they walk in, or he's reading a newspaper or something. But those are like the most notorious of all the ghosts that happen.
Can you be allergic to a ghost cat?
It's the dander, so I don't think so. I would hope not.
Probably not.
So now that we've shared some stories that other people have experienced at the Buxton and just kind of the history of the place, I wanted to finally bestow upon you guys me and Nola's personal experiences at the Buxton Inn. So back in 2012, the actual 2012, it's only a joke that Nola and I get, but it's fine. Me, Nola, our friend Amanda, and our friend April all decided to take a day trip during our spring break and go to the Buxton Inn to do a ghost hunt. And we all decided that we were characters from Ghost Adventures. I somehow got pegged as being Aaron. I think it was just because I had my camera. But in every recording I listened to, you could just hear me say, I'm standing behind the camera because no one likes me.
And then Amanda was Zach because she was, like, super confrontational. Right? Yes. And I was just Nick because I was there.
And April was our guest speaker.
Who was, like, part Zach because she was antagonizing.
Yeah, I wish somebody recorded over that other EVP. We got a really cool one that we'll talk about. But I kind of want to give Nola the reins here to talk about her experience with that particular time of being at the Buxton before we shared our trip out there together a few years later.
All right, so I actually don't remember a lot because
I picked you up and we drove.
Yeah, we went all the way the fuck out to Granville.
She says all the way. It's 30 minutes. Well, I guess it was an hour for us. Yeah. It's about a half an hour to get there from Columbus. Yes. But it was like an hour from where we were because we weren't at school. So I picked
her
up.
We're on the west side.
Yeah.
So I remember thinking it was cute as fuck, because I'm serious, this inn is super cute. So, last week's episode was sponsored by fucking Barnes & Noble. This week's episode is sponsored by the Buxton Inn. Go visit.
Yeah. Yay!
But it's super cute, and everybody there was, like, super friendly. So what, we went, like, during the week.
Yeah, it was, like, a Wednesday or something. I mean, I could look up the exact date because we mentioned it in one of our recordings, but
but, like, it was during the week. It was not busy. Like,
not at all.
They maybe had, like, less than 10 guests that were, like, out on the town while we were there. So we pretty much had the place to ourselves, and the staff was like, yeah, just walk around. If you want to go into any place, just feel free to do that.
Which
is insane.
You can
turn on lights.
Yeah.
You can ask questions. Just don't go into,
like, locked rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said doors that were shut to, like, not, or, like, you know, quarters that are employees only.
Yeah. So, like, they're super used to it, and they're super nice, and I remember a few of, like, the women at the front desk were telling us their stories of, like, feeling the cat at sometimes, but also, like, just things, like, kind of fucking up their workspace.
Right.
Like, moving stuff or opening doors, and they would, like, run into them, kind of like how Megan's often hit by ghosts with doors. These front desk
doors.
Ladies were, too. So, yeah, I just kind of remember walking around, taking pictures. It was pretty. I remember at one point we were in the basement, so it was the wine cellar part, not the tavern
so
part.
Yeah, so there's two downstairs areas. There's a winery and there's a tavern, and we were in the winery at this point.
So we're just, like, sitting there, these, like, four girls,
not sure what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah, just, like, huddled around this, like, little teeny tiny tape recorder, and we've got our friend Amanda who's like, hey, so is, like, anybody here? And April's like, yeah, ghosts, yeah, anybody fucking here? And then, like, Megan's like, ha, 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 nobody likes me, I'm Aaron.
I'm behind the camera, nobody likes me.
But yeah, so we're, like, even feeling awkward with each other, just, like, sitting there, like, hey, is anybody here?
Mm-hmm.
Because talking to an open room is very strange. But we're there, we're in the wine cellar, we're doing that, and we're recording, and then all of a sudden, I hear a meow. Like, we're talking about the fucking cat, mm-hmm. Major Buxton, and as we're talking about it, I hear it. And nobody else does.
Nobody reacts, because she's like,
Did anyone just hear that meow right now? And everyone's like, no. And then we listen to the tape, and there's a meow on our tape.
And I'm over here, because she's like, did anybody hear that? And I was like, I just moved my camera. And she's like, no, I heard a meow. And I'm like, look at what I just did with my camera. And I'm shaking, you can hear me shaking the camera in the recording. She's like, I heard a meow. And I'm like, but are you sure that it wasn't this? And I shake the camera again. So, we really tried to debunk that one, but it's pretty clear that it was a meow, which is...
Yes.
That was cool.
Yeah, because, like, Megan was taking video recording mm-hmm. as we were doing the voice recording, so, like, we could tell with the video that none of us were, like, fucking around going, meow, because...
Like, April did right before that.
In the recording, you can hear us being like, oh, Major Buxton, you're a cat, and all of us each kind of took a turn with, like, meow, and then we keep talking about it, and then there's, like, this little soft, like, meow. Actual cat yeah. sound.
Like, really short, like, a cat that, like, comes in and greets you. There's a really short, like, quick thing, but it was really cool. Especially since she heard it in real time, and none of us heard it until we listened to it, and we caught it. So we caught it on a recorder, but we also caught it on the camera. Because we watched the footage, because we're like, we want to make sure that it was, like, nobody moving. And nobody was moving, but you heard it on the camera, you heard it on the recording, and she heard it real time. So that one was really cool. And then, you want me to tell the one about when we were up in the upstairs dining room? Yes! So, for years, since this was, you know, almost a decade ago, which just feels crazy, but I thought I was up in this room alone, but I'm listening to this recording, all of us were up there in there's an upstairs dining room, so the main building is two stories, and both of them have a dining room, right? Like, they're right on the same spot. They're just different floors.
Yeah, different floors, yeah.
So, we went up to the upstairs one. Nobody's up there. It's dark. Kind of. It was, like, middle of the day. So, it was just lit up by natural light.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like, oh, we're gonna go up here and, like, try. I've never caught anything upstairs. So, we're just up there just messing around. And there's some, like, soft music playing. They had music playing in every room. Just to give it, like, an old-timey feel. But... You hear us start the recording and explain every sound that is in the room. Like, oh, here's April's voice, here's Nola's, here's Amanda's, here's Megan's. There's music playing in the background, and then we ask if anybody's there, if they could, like, let us know. And we didn't hear this, and we were listening to the recording before we even left the room, because I listened to the next recording, and we were like, we heard this, we have to see if we can catch it again. But you listen... In about, like, 26 seconds into our recording, you hear somebody very faintly just say, hello. And all of us were like, oh my god. It was like the most, it was just really cool to hear that. And then we tried to get it to happen again, and we were, like, trying to figure out if we could, like, debunk it and try to explain it away, but we just couldn't. So we caught that as well. And then a recording that got recorded over.
So sad.
Yeah, because it was the best one. I was listening because I
thought
it was
still on. It was the scariest one.
Yeah, it was terrifying. So, what room were we in when we caught that? I can't remember.
I don't remember. All I know is...
still been upstairs.
Because
I know at some point we went to room 9, but we didn't catch anything in room 9.
No, I think... So, across the hall from, like, the main open dining room, yeah. There was, like, that little tiny seating area.
Oh, that little
area.
Tiny dining room. Maybe yeah. We were in there. We were somewhere in the building. It's not important. But the distinction is April was not with us at this point.
So, the whole time she was with us, and she was like, what's up, ghost? What's going on? And, like she doesn't believe in anything. Yeah. Like, she was just, like, having fun, like...
Antagonizing. And I kept warning her. I was like, you don't want to do that. Like, it... I was like, you're gonna ask for it, and it's gonna happen. And she's like, no, nothing's gonna happen. Like, this stuff is not real. And she was just, like, making fun of it the whole trip, which was, like, we kind of all got annoyed, but we got over it. We were just like, whatever. So, I forget where she even went. She might have just gone outside or something, but we're all doing a little recording session, and we did not listen to this one until we got home. I remember listening to it in a dorm room, and... I'm listening through because I was like, I want to see if we caught anything. And we get to this particular part in that little session that we were doing, and I hear something on the recording. I replayed it probably like 6 times before I had Noel and Amanda listen to it. And I was like, you tell me what you think this says, because I'm not going to tell you and have you hear that, because I have, like, warped your mind into thinking that that's what it's saying.
I am impressionable.
Yes. All of us are. But I didn't want to ruin their lives. No, but all of us agreed on the fact that we were asking some questions, and we hear somebody ask, where's April?
It was, where's April?
Yeah. Like, pretty loud. And we all, like, wrestled with, do we tell April about this? And it took us about 3 seconds to say yes. So we ran to her dorm room and we're like, you have to listen to this. So we make her listen to it. And she's like, I don't know. And then we had her listen to it again. And she just was like, oh my God. And she, like, flipped out. But that was, like, the craziest thing that I've ever had happen. Mm-hmm. And I did that stuff all the time as a kid. Like, I was always looking for ghosts. I always
talking to empty rooms.
Yeah, I always thought there was going to be, like, a poltergeist that would attack me. Because I read in a book once that my dad got me of, like, Ghost Hunter's Guide for Children. And I don't know why my dad bought me this. But this book mentioned that poltergeists regularly target teenagers. And I was like, I'm 12.
Oh my God. I'm technically a teenager.
I was almost a teenager, and I kept freaking out that is like the minute I turned 13, there's a poltergeist, like, finally. And just like, just was ready to go. Never happened. But
fuck you up like that girl in Insidious 2.
So.
Is it 2?
That.
3. The one with the girl.
Oh, that's 3. Yeah. Where she ends up in, like, the fucking wheelchair and the ghost still pushes her.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was our first experience at the Buxton, but our second is more memorable, and it's why Noah's mad at me. But in 2016, for my birthday, my aunt called me, my Aunt Kathy, and she was like, so I got you something for your birthday. And she's like, do you want to know what it is? And I was like, yes. Like, duh.
Duh.
So she said that she had booked me a room at an inn for me and a friend. And she mentioned that she got me a room at the Buxton Inn. And I was, like, ecstatic. And then she, like, but wait, that's not the best part. She's like, the best part is I got you booked in room 9. And I exploded. Like, I was so excited. And I knew I had to take Nola. She was like, you can take anybody. And I was like, Nola, for sure. So it was the weekend before my birthday, because I think that my birthday was, like, on a Monday or Tuesday that year.
Mm. So I feel like it was a couple weeks before.
Maybe.
Because
I thought it was the 23rd.
We went before my dad died.
Oh, that's right. It was that year. Yeah. But
which was a nice little getaway right. beforehand.
So that, we got into Granville, and I was like, so we're staying in room 9, like, it's the most haunted room. We had already, like, done a ghost hunt thing there, because the lady let us into room 9 while we were there. And on our second day in Granville, our first night pretty much went off without a hitch, besides us getting into the room and finding out that my room had a giant mirror in it, like, bigger than I am.
So, yeah, it was, like, 2 separate rooms. Like, you would walk in. There was, like, 1 bed right at the front of the door, and then there was, like, a small little entryway into another room, which was Megan's right. huge mirror.
Right at the foot
right
of
across
bed.
The from the bed, so I hung a blanket up over it.
Yeah, so I didn't even care sleep. That I'd be a little cold, because there was no fucking way I'm gonna sleep in a room where a mirror is at the end of the bed.
The biggest mirror I've ever seen.
So, first night, really, I mean, it goes off just fine. Nothing really happens. We wake up, and we're like, it was a little uncomfortable. My room was, like, at an angle. I mean, so I was, like, sleeping on a slope, so that was a little weird for me.
We did go to karaoke the night before, and we were heavily aided with our sleep.
Yeah, that's true. We made some friends.
Yeah, we did.
Sang a lot of songs from Supernatural. So we woke up the next day, we had stuff to do in the morning, and we, like, walked around town for a little bit, and we both decided that we were tired. Nolan was a little bit more tired than I was.
Oh, yeah.
So we go back to the room, and we both lay down. I am incapable of napping during the day. If it's light outside, I have a really hard time falling asleep. So I couldn't. So I turned on The Office and I was cross-stitching. But the door was shut between Noel and I's room so that she could sleep without having to hear all of my sounds from my laptop. But I noticed a sound in the background from Noel's room. And it was probably like, I would say like 30 to 45 minutes after we laid down. So I figured you had mentioned not wanting to take too long of a nap. And I listened and I heard what sounded like humming, like a song, like humming a song. Like a and I was like, oh, Noel's awake. So, you know, I get out of bed, I'm all excited because I was like, what are we gonna do? And I push open the door a little bit. And Nola is passed the fuck out on the bed. And I was like, oh. So I looked around the room to make sure nobody had broken in. Nobody had. So then I was like, oh. Well. Oh, well. That was my response. So I,
shut the fucking door. She shut the door. She went back to her bed and watched The Office. And she shut me in the room with the mysterious humming.
So, heard the humming again, and then I was like, you know what, she's fine. Like, I didn't...
Fuck you!
I didn't feel threatened by the humming. I didn't think that humming meant death. So, I waited for Nola to wake up, and then I told her about it. And she, you know, was just like she was right now, where she was like, why didn't you wake me up?
I still slept in that bed that night.
Yeah, she was fine. See? And she's still alive to tell the story. But that's where the fact... So Ellie... Not Ellie.
Bonnie.
Ethel is her name. Bonnie was her nickname. Bonnie is said to haunt that room. And with her being
opera a singer. Former
opera singer.
I had no idea.
I read that in the book and I just went, oh, shit. So it just added some validity to that experience that we had, and a little bit of spookiness, because yep. I heard it was, like, clear as day, and for years, I mean, I can still hear the tune that she was humming.
I kind of want to throw up.
But it's like, I wouldn't have left her in there if I was like, oh, this is, like, malicious.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she's humming the death march and she's getting ready to stab her, but I didn't feel scared by it. Like, even looking into the room, I was like, no, it's fine, and I just, like, shut the door. And, you know, looking back, that's a little fucked up. I'd be probably mad if she did that to me, but it's whatever. She lived. Yeah. We're still here.
And, yeah, I slept in that room that night, and I had nothing mess with me in my side of the room.
So it was my turn, obviously. So me and her, are laying in our rooms, and we had just said goodnight, and like I said, I was sleeping at an angle, so I'm, like, laying across this bed so that I don't fall off of it, because the rooms are really old, so the foundation is just not where it used to be, but I feel like something has hopped into my bed. Like, it almost felt like two paws. I want to say pause, but it felt like hands almost, like somebody had slapped the bed. So my natural thought was Nola was getting back at me, and she had snuck into my room somehow, even though the floorboards creaked like crazy, like there was no way she could just walk in. But that was my natural thought, was that she had come in, she was hitting the bed to scare me, so I immediately flipped over and there's nothing on the bed. And the door is still shut and she's in her room. So I was like, that was interesting. So I rolled back over to go to sleep. And felt like something walked from my ankles to the, like, bend of my knee and lay down.
Nope.
Like, something had curled up behind me and laid down on the bed. And I was like, oh, fuck. But I, like, couldn't move. And this went on for, like, 10 minutes, to where I could feel the pressure behind my leg. And then I finally grew a pair and I turned over to look to see if something had, like, come in. And kind of like that lady who's allergic to cats, just not as intense. So I felt that pressure, and I just was like, oh, fuck. And I, like, couldn't move at all. I remember wanting to turn around, but I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna see. So I'm just not gonna turn around. I chose the same exact route that I did with Nola. Like, I'm not going to look again because I'm afraid that there's going to be something there this time. But I finally was like, no, it's probably nothing. Like, I'm just being crazy. So I rolled over and checked, and there was nothing on the bed, but the pressure instantly, like, went away as soon as I turned over. So it's almost like Major Buxton got into bed with me, but I scared him off by, like, or pissed
shifting,
him off.
Shifting, yeah.
Yeah, and he just got off the bed, and he's like, I'm not sleeping here tonight because she moves too much. But I went to bed after that. I was fine. And then we woke up the next morning, and we
had a breakfast, lovely breakfast, and then we went home. Yeah.
But that was, yeah, that was our experience of a weekend at
a haunted hotel.
I almost said weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Buxton's.
Oh.
Buxton's.
Yeah, I want to stay there again. I really, really enjoyed the stay. The rooms were really nice. The people in Granville are just lovely, and the town is just so cute.
There's a waitress there that waitresses at every fucking restaurant, I swear, and she has a voice like Stevie Nicks.
Mm-hmm.
Because she also karaoke'd.
Because didn't we see her at another restaurant?
Yeah.
And like, weren't you just, and she's like, yeah, I got off and started here. And we're like, oh, okay.
We tipped her big time each time.
Yeah, she was great. Karaoke was awesome. Yeah, it was just a fun time.
Yeah.
But we had some experiences, I would say thankfully. Like, I was just like, man, it would be such a bummer if we went for a whole weekend and, like, nothing happened.
Zero things. Yes.
But, yeah, so that's why I've been so excited to share that story. Like I said, I could talk about this place for hours. I just am fascinated. If I was millions of dollars richer, I would live in Granville with no questions asked. I just love it. But I'll settle for visiting, like, once every couple months. And going to the bookstore with the same old lady that had me run an errand for her once. It's fine. Yeah.
So, yeah. We've hunted for a lot of shit.
And we'll hunt for sometimes, a lot more.
Sometimes we don't find anything, and sometimes we find way too much.
Thank you. Way too much.
Way too much. But, yeah. We're gonna keep hunting up some good stories for you guys. Yeah. And some
visiting
cool,
some places.
Yeah.
And sharing our experiences, and maybe we'll have some recordings of our crazy voices talking to empty rooms.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love talking to empty rooms.
My favorite thing to do. We're basically doing that now.
But we're both here. And Johnny.
Oh, yeah. Our editor in chief.
I don't know why, but I thought you were referring to him as, like, our commander-in-chief. And
then
I was just
going to
be like, no,
podcast.
Fuck that guy.
That's what it sounded like.
So, yeah, no empty room talking here. But, yeah, we'll be doing that soon.
Yeah, and on our next episode, we're going to share some of our own ghost stories from college and from the time when Nola and I lived together for 5 years. So we'll share some stories from the house that we lived in, and then we've got some spooky Ohio College scary stories to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll get to that for next week's episode.
Yeah. So in the meantime, give us a listen. Listen to all of our episodes. Be our best friend. Follow us on Spotify or
and Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram. If you...
It's the easiest way to get a hold of us, honestly, because I forget to check our email daily.
Yeah, you can DM us on Instagram. Or if you feel way more professional and adult, grown up, you can email us at...
We'll check it eventually.
deadmagnoliaspodcast@gmail.com. Similarly, our Instagram is deadmagnoliaspodcast.
So, you can't really forget it.
No.
We do have a new logo we're going to try to get uploaded. It's on the Instagram page, but we're going to try to get it onto the podcasting platforms that we're on. So,
yeah. Our buddy Michael Green made that for us. It's us as the Grady twins from The Shining.
And it's adorable.
Little brunette me, little redheaded Megan holding a skull and a magnolia.
Just very
it's
inventive.
So fucking
yeah,
cute.
I love it.
I love it so much. I only had to pay him in beer.
What a gem, Michael
Green.
What
a gem.
All right, guys. Well, until next week.
Stay spooky.
Bye.
Just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page.
I was trying to get your attention.
Yeah, I can stop this whenever. Which means I can also include all of this if I want to.
That's going to be our intro, is me going, what's up?